Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with a man who should need an introduction, but a man so out on the left, the leader of his local Antifa support group, the Bradical Left, as he's called, Brad.
I know a lot of my leftist friends that would disagree with your description of my political leanings.
Brad is pro Antifa, as everyone knows.
To keep in tradition with the past couple weeks on the show, while I cannot crack the beer can on air because I've already poured it, I'm rolling with a Brewer's Art cold brew nitro porter with Zeke's cold brew in it. So this is one of the most Baltimore drinks that I could.
Yeah,
be drinking
no shit.
Right now.
Yeah. Weirdly, that Brad's beard has been dyed with Old Bay. It's crazy. He's super Baltimore today. Andy is out this week, but he'll be back probably next week just because his work schedule is garbage.
We'll see, because I feel like his days off next week are going to be like Thursday and Friday, so I don't know if that's going to work either. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good thing nothing's happening this week.
No, I mean, obviously. It's always been a light week for the last, I don't know, 40 years? I guess that's how long we've been doing this. So I, of course, am still drinking scotch. I'm drinking the same scotch I was last week, just a much larger pour because I'm going to need it. So the docket is full of lots of things, many forms of wonderment. But I thought we'd start out with something fun. And as I put on the docket, I just want to hear Brad's thoughts on Kanye West for POTUS.
God, this fucking guy. So amazingly, my anger for the Kanye West, and I use the largest air quotes possible, presidential bid that he has embarked on the past couple weeks, is less to do with that bee-stung face motherfucker and more to do with the people that automatically just like, oh, this is a great idea. Like a lot of these people are the same people that voted for Donald Trump as a change candidate back in 2016. And of course that they're just looking for the next quote unquote change candidate, AKA fucking moron that doesn't belong anywhere near government that they can vote for in the presidential election. But what was more dismaying is the amount of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump, who would never vote for Donald Trump, who have observed what's happened for the past 3.5 years and still came to the Kanye West news by saying, well, this will be a great idea. Like, have we not realized what putting in someone who has zero idea of how to be an executive within government? Have we not seen the catastrophe that can reign in the midst of this? And then you're willing to put someone in there who is essentially the same level of inexperience. Kanye West runs a company. He is a very successful
Probably
music
more
producer.
Successful, actually, as a businessman.
Fair, you know what? Fair. He's I don't think he's lost a ton of money the same way Donald Trump has.
No.
He's a very successful music producer and artist. None of those things qualify you in any way, shape, or form to be president of any country, much less one of the most complex countries sitting on the face of the earth. And Kanye West, now, to me, has taken the championship belt away from Floyd Mayweather Jr. That proves that money does not make you smart, and money does not exclude the fact that you are a fucking dumbass. Because if Kanye West thinks that running for president is a good idea for anyone other than Kanye West, he's not kidding anybody. And you know what? Quite frankly, it's not even a good idea for Kanye West.
No, it's not.
I can't even see where that would benefit him in any way, shape, or form. But again,
is he going to be putting out albums while he's in office?
Right, right. But again, this isn't a real thing. As Jay, no, you said, he's running for attention. He's not running for president. So we shouldn't care. But the fact that this is given any amount of oxygen or any amount of digital ink just drives me up the wall. Those are my
thoughts. I mean, look. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, you know, I was expecting more laughing and vitriol from Brad. Well, that's because I haven't gotten to reading Brad what Kanye West's platform is, which I'm going to do in a second. Let's see if we can get Brad to explode on air because these are insane. We'll just pick topics Just I'll give you some of the good ones, Brad. And keep in mind, Brad has not heard these before.
I haven't.
So his reactions are real. In reference to the coronavirus cure, he says, quote, we pray for freedom. It's all about God. We need to stop doing things that make God mad.
Shut up. Shut up. That can't be the words. That cannot be the words next to the topic coronavirus cure.
No, he's going to put that on our money.
That can't be.
I love that he thinks that we have the coronavirus because we made God mad. Or that, like, some asshole in China decided to eat, like, an armadillo bat sandwich and then was like, hey, oh, this isn't good for me, and then spread it.
If you believe in God, I can understand why you may think the coronavirus is, you know, a result of his will, and you might think that we're doing something wrong. That's not a acceptable platform for the head of government to have. Please continue. We're 0 for 1. Or 1 for 1, depending on your perspective.
I would go 1-0, but yeah, that's just me. I'm a different guy. Oh, on vaccines.
Let me guess. Pray the disease away.
Well, Brad, I feel like you might have this is swing and a miss for you. He says, quote, it's so many of our children that are being vaccinated and paralyzed.
Paralyzed from vaccines.
Yes. Interesting.
Well, that's a new angle to take. I mean, it's just as substantiated that vaccines are causing paralysis in children as they are causing autism. So,
I mean, according to Michelle Bachmann, quote, and this is me quoting her, it makes kids retarded.
Oh.
So, you know, thumbs up to that. So he goes on by saying, so when they say the way we're going to fix COVID is with a vaccine, I'm extremely cautious. That's the mark of the beast. Hold. They want to put chips inside of us. They want to do all kinds of things. They make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. I'm sorry, when I say they, the humans that have the devil inside them. And I'm sorry. This isn't real. And the saddest thing is that we all won't make it to heaven, and there'll be some of us that don't make it. Next question. Next question. I'm done with that one. Nailed it.
This mark of the beast, Brad. This sounds like this could have been taken from like the manifesto of a serial killer.
On foreign policy. This should be interesting. I haven't read this one. I haven't developed it yet. I'm focused on protecting America first.
Oh, I have.
With our great military, let's focus on ourselves first.
Okay. I haven't developed my foreign policy strategy yet, he says, as he's running for president in an election that's 4 months away.
Yeah.
Top okay. notch. Right. Top notch response. You know what? Better than making up some bullshit, I guess.
You know
points,
what?
Points for honesty.
How about this? Better foreign policy than Donald Trump in 2016? You know what?
Fair. Absolutely fair.
At least it's more honest. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. That's it. Fuck it. On abortion, he says, I am pro-life because I am following the word of the Bible. Spoiler alert, if you actually read the Bible, there's a whole story about giving a woman a little bit of the Jesus juice, see if she cheated on you. And if that baby goes away, it's cool with God. But hey, I didn't make that up. You can read that in your book. But hey, whatever, pro-life as also, the Bible says.
Bible doesn't specifically condemn abortion, but moving on.
Yeah, whatever. You know. God forbid you guys read the book that you say you
believe. Look, it's a settled issue.
Weird.
It's a settled issue. We hope. Let's hope that any of these other dumbass cases don't make it as far as SCOTUS. They knocked down the last one, so we got that going for us.
According to John Roberts, maybe it's a settled case. Who the fuck knows?
Or actually, the actual John Roberts opinion, try harder next time.
Yeah. You guys are really bad at doing the detail work. On being a political novice, he says... This should be good. I have to say, with all humanity, I have to say, with all humility, that as a man, I don't have all the pieces in the puzzle. As I speak to you, for what a political campaign, a political walk, as I told you, because I'm not running, I'm walking. I'm not running. We the people are walking. We're not running anymore. We're not running. We're not excited. We are energized. What? Someone can say, hey, I got a brand new car for you. It's across the street. And you get so excited, you run across the street and get hit by a car trying to run to your new car. That's how they control the black community, through emotions. They get us excited. We're so excited. But then for 400 years, the change doesn't truly happen. That makes all the sense in the world to me. I don't know about you, Brad.
That was completely incoherent.
Yeah. That's right. On the need for racial healing after George Floyd. Well, God has already started the healing. The conversation alone is healing and revealing. Nice rhyming there. We all need to start praying and kneeling. Okay, now he's just right. Okay. Okay, dude.
He's sampling one of the tracks off his next album is what he's doing right there.
Yeah, which, by the way, he's previewing. It's called God's Country.
Shocking.
If you ever want to know what his real motives are.
Absolutely shocking.
Shocking news. Another bar after that. But when a rhyme comes together, I'm going to complete it. Not inside the lines created by organizations that we... All right, I can't even read that. That's just gibberish. On having COVID-19, he says that he had it.
Okay.
I don't believe him.
I feel like that would have been actually publicized if that was the case, but continue.
Don't believe him at all.
Continue.
Though the ramblings that he's making does fit with the new studies that it does cause brain damage in some people. So maybe he did. Not that that's funny, but I'm just saying. On having coronavirus.
I think that's a pre-existing condition, Jay.
I mean, in fairness. He says, quote, chills, shaking in the bed, taking hot showers. You mean showers? Looking at videos telling me what I'm supposed to do to get over it. I remember someone had told me Drake had the coronavirus. And my response was, Drake can't be sicker than me. Okay. Like, that's a weird competition.
You know something weird that I haven't told you guys this. So a few people say, and who knows how true this is, that the flu that was going around in like January and February was an early version of this, and it kind of like mutated into what we have now with COVID-19. Right. And I did have the worst flu of my life for a couple of days back in mid-February. So it's very possible that I might have had it. I have no clue. There's no way to know. Obviously, because it was pre, you know, everything kind of kicked off.
Right. Terrence was saying the same thing. And, you know, I remember when he said that, I was thinking back, like, my wife actually, like, she wasn't feeling well, like, kind of flu-like symptoms. And we ended up going to, like, patient first, right? Like, we didn't need to go to the hospital. And, like, they had to put her on fluids. Like, so, like, I don't know. Maybe it was it. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows?
And let me tell you, like if what I had was COVID, and it was a mild case of COVID, I would shudder to think what a extreme case of that shit is, because even a mild case, like, it lasted for 4 to 5 days. Like, the 2 days where I was the sickest were like two of the worst days of the flu that I've ever had in my entire life. It just seemed like something that you couldn't kick. Like, it was very difficult to kick. And in hearing other people talk about it, it seems like it's a lot of the same folks, even people that had mild cases or, you know, didn't have any lingering problems afterward.
And look, the amount of information that's coming out now, like literally brain damage, you know, things like that, like, it's pretty fucking scary. Like, it's really not to be toyed with. Again, don't go to COVID parties. That's not a good idea. Trying to think. Oh, you know what? Here's one I agree with. I actually agree with Kanye West on capital punishment. Thou shall not kill. I'm against the death penalty. So am I. Fair enough. I think you should be able to beat the shit out of certain people, but I don't think you should, like Batman rules. But I don't think you, should kill them. So I'll read one last one, which I think is a pretty good one, because it is just pure madness. How he would run government, Brad, which is important, right? Like, really a top down sort of situation. See if you can follow along with this madness. He calls it the Wakanda management model, like from the fictional.
I'm familiar with the fictional characters. Country Wakanda from the Marvel comic and movie Black Panther.
He says, quote, a lot of Africans do not like the movie Black Panther and representation of themselves in Wakanda. But I'm going to use the framework of Wakanda right now because it's the best explanation of what our design group is going to feel like in the White House.
That's you would literally be changing the form of government that we have. You can't. That's not how this works,
Brad. That's not how this works, Jay. I feel like you're being a hater. Feel like you're being a hater. I will continue because you don't even know what you're talking about. You ignorant bastard. You have no idea what you're talking about. By the way, I like that he refers to it as a design group, as if they're making sweatpants and outrunning a country of 325 million people. But whatever. That is a positive idea. You got Kanye West, one of the. This is him saying this, okay? I cannot stress this point.
Like I said, the fact that he talks about himself in the third person is the least surprising thing about him, honestly.
No. The following sentence is insane. Pure insanity. That is a positive idea. You got Kanye West, one of the most powerful humans. I'm not saying the most, because you got a lot of alien level superpowers, and it's only collectively that we can set it free. Let's get back to Wakanda. Oh, sorry, let him digress. That by the way, no ellipses in that sentence. That was literally what he said. Like in the movie, in Wakanda, when the king went to visit the lead scientist. To have the shoes wrap around to have the shoes wrap around her shoes. That's not what happened. Just the amount of innovation that can happen, the amount of innovation in medicine, like big pharma. We're going to work, innovate together. This is not going to be some Nipsey Hussle being murdered. They're doing a documentary. We have so many soldiers that die for our freedom of information, that there is a that there's a cure for AIDS out there. There's going to be a mix of big pharma and holistic. I mean, you can't argue with that, Brad. You literally cannot argue with that. I don't want to hear your explanation because it's literally inarguable.
So of all the issues that are most important to me as an American, I feel like that the right to vote has fluttered up to the top of the pile just in terms of things that I care about the most. Because I think it's essential to running the type of government that we want to have. So it pains me, and it puts me at odds with myself, to suggest that anyone stupid enough to vote for this fucking moron probably shouldn't be allowed to vote for anybody else ever again. In all honesty.
You know what? Look, hypocrisy is overrated, man. Like, it's overrated. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'll leave it there. I highly recommend going to Forbes and reading the article. Or just to read the bullet points of the things that are in his platform, because again, it is eye-opening.
Again,
or eye-shutting, I guess.
Kanye West will never be president of the United States. If he were to ever be, at some point we need to take the position of president, put it into a ceremonial position, like the King and Queen of England, and instead elect like a chief executive that actually runs the fucking country. And then King Kanye can sit on his throne and just proclaim whatever the fuck he wants.
I disagree. One, he should never be president. That part is absolutely true. That part I agree with you. If he ever becomes president, I'm moving. I'm moving. Like, I know people threaten that, I'll go to Canada. No, I'm serious. If Kanye West becomes president of the United States at any point, I'm leaving. I am taking my family, who I care about, and I'm leaving this country forever. Because it's not safe to come back even when he's out of office, because those idiots who elected him are still there. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm starting my own country. Jay-Z.
Or just go to Canada. Like, I know it's cold, but... That's nice.
I would go to Canada in a second if it wasn't fucking cold, man. I really would. It's America. It's America that just relax. Relax. Everybody's just cool, man. They're just cool. I don't like hockey, but I feel like I could get used to it.
You could. You'd be forced to. Like, it's very hard to not like hockey.
The fact that in America, HNIC means a completely different thing. It's like the most Canadian thing.
I'm shocked that you even know what it means when it means a Canadian.
Yeah, I know. I found out on Twitter. Because like all these
you saw the hashtag and you were very confused.
I was like, what the fuck are all these white people hashtagging HNIC? And they're like, hockey night in Canada. God. I'm like, that's not what it means in America.
And you know what's funny? Like, I'm such a puckhead that it would never even occur to me to think of it in the other context. Like, to me, it's always just hockey night in Canada.
That's fucking funny.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is the split between white America and black America right here.
Thank God. Thank God he was dumb enough to launch this bid after the ballot registration had passed in like every state basically.
Yeah, and thankfully it wasn't during the primary. Like actually during the primary.
And you know what else is crazy?
He launched it like right before South Carolina or some dumb shit. I'd be like,
you know what else is crazy? We joke about people making like vanity runs for the president, but in all actuality, it really hasn't happened all that often. Like you got Trump, Ross Perot arguably was like a vanity run.
I don't even
run.
Know that I would say that was even a vanity run. I mean, he did pretty well.
He's the best third party. He, you know, performed the best of any third party candidate in history. But it doesn't happen all that often. And
no, it doesn't.
My fear is that because one of the knock-on effects of Trump winning, and now we're seeing it with Kanye, we're going to start to see this more often than we fucking should because celebrities don't have enough people around them that can keep them grounded in reality. So a lot of them think their shit don't stink. And so they're like, well, if Donald Trump can be president, surely I can be. And while that's a fair point and probably true of at least 70% of the Americans that live in this country right now, and I'm including the children, can make a better president than Donald Trump.
Also true.
It's not actually true compared to the average president.
No, and look, here's the thing. I think you're right, right? Like we're going to get more of these sort of, I was in a lot of movies, so I should be president type of shit. But there's one factor that might change that. If Donald Trump and the Republican Party get the shellacking of a lifetime in 2020, they'll cut.
But they won't. But they won't. Like this Trump getting beaten should be the biggest presidential election landslide of all time. But it is statistically impossible for that to be the case. Even a shellacking in the best case scenario that we could hope for would probably be like top half, but just barely of landslides in presidential history, just because of how the electoral college map is set up.
He's not going to get destroyed like Mondale.
No,
like that is just not going to happen. However, and I don't think so. I shouldn't say however, but what I will say is there is a story. Our last serious story this week might change your mind on how bad that landslide could possibly be.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen that story yet, so I'm curious to see what that's going to look like.
It's such a devastating story. You'd be like, ooh, like that could really, that could pull people in a direction that is so incredibly anti-Trump that it could make it real bad for them. It'll be interesting because there's a lot of news around it. It'll be interesting to see just how the Republican Party handles the sort of run-up to this. And it's coming soon, by the way. All right, so let's get right into it. Yes, thank you, Brad. I just wanted to hear your hateful thoughts on one Kanye West, the 49th president of the United States. By the way, I'll be moving that year to celebrate HNIC during HNIC.
I don't think he lived that long, so we're fine.
One last thing about that. Is there a significant portion, or I guess I'm disappointed that there is a significant portion of this country that doesn't see that someone is going through a clearly mental episode.
Yeah, I know. The entire Republican Party. Oh, you're talking about Kanye. I'm sorry.
Weird.
I did not put that together.
Also true, though. But they didn't realize that Reagan was fucking slipping either, right? No. They're like, no, the Gipper's just, we'd have, no, we
just, he's just, he's just forgetful. He's just forgetful. Yeah. It's fine. He's up there.
He doesn't know his own name, but it's fine. Right? It's fine. It's fine. But like, I'm amazed by the fact that like Kanye West hasn't pissed me off so much because I realize like he's going through a manic episode. Like it's odd. He's bipolar. Like he has said that he says like, I'm not using my medication. I'm like, maybe you should. I've known bipolar people, like, some that, like, when you're in it, you don't know, right? You don't understand how manic you are or how depressed you are. And he's clearly going through a manic mode. But what really pisses me off is his enablers. Like, you realize that he's not well. And you're amping up, oh yeah, you should run for president. Like,
well, he's the money train. He's the money train. Like if his train stops, then the train stops for the rest of them.
Yeah, so, but like Elon Musk, he's not the money train for Elon Musk.
That's true.
Like, what the fuck are you pushing
Elon Musk is just a fucking idiot as well.
Yeah, I'm like,
there's another guy that would run for president if he could.
Oh. 100%. 100%.
Like, there's no doubt. And a lot of people would vote for him. Running. Right. And they would.
I own one of his cars and I wouldn't fucking vote for him. He's a fucking asshole. His cars are dope, but he's a fucking asshole. Yeah, like, sorry. They're fucking awesome.
I mean, he would probably get us to Mars or at least get us on the
moon. I mean, he would.
That's one thing you can say.
Yeah, his whole platform. Like, dude, space. Space is awesome. Like, he's a smart guy who hires really smart people. But he's a fucking asshole. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for him to get fired from his own company. I can't wait. I can't wait. Fucking have at it. I'm still getting that Cybertruck. Fuck you guys. I'm getting my Halo Warthog. I'm doing it. All right. So the biggest news this week was the Supreme Court cases. About Mazars.
That was within the past 7 days.
Yeah, dude, I had to look at our docket from last week. I was like, "Was that? Did Andy and I talk about that?" No, we didn't. Yeah, shocking news. So the Supreme Court issued the highly anticipated decision yesterday on two cases concerning oversight, presidential immunity, and the balance of power. The court held in one case that subpoenas in the criminal investigation into Trump's business dealings by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance can be enforced. The court's decision in the second case concerning congressional subpoenas in the president's shadowy longtime accounting firm, Mazars, was more complex. So basically, Cyrus Vance, the Manhattan District Attorney, is allowed to get a hold of Trump's taxes, but Congress is not. And they basically said, like, Congress has to go through these, like, four hoops to get this information. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on this?
It kind of went the way I was expecting, because most of the folks that knew, like, the legals on this stuff said that it was highly probable that the New York case was going to win and that the congressional case was going to lose. Now, the congressional case didn't necessarily lose. The court punted on making a decision. They kicked it back down to the lower courts. ProPublica mentions that the biggest winner in this is John Roberts, and that is 100% correct.
Yep.
Because he manages to make the court look insanely competent without really giving anything away. Because even if New York can see those records, it's going to be under grand jury seal. And they won't be released to the public. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't be leaked. Fingers crossed. But it's highly unlikely that would be seen outside of a grand jury deliberation room, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because the argument from Trump is so piss poor, right? Like, hey, my accounting firm doesn't have the time, or excuse me, my company doesn't have the time to deal with this, and I'm going to block that as the president, even though this isn't even about my company necessarily. It is a direct question to Mazars, the accounting firm they deal with, right? Like, Mazars could have all that information on a couple of DVDs sent over to the court in an afternoon. Like, let's get real. They probably already have it, and they're just like, and send. Like, here's the link to the Google document, right? Like, so their argument in and of itself is kind of silly, which is part of the reason why they lost. ProPublica has like three takeaways from this, which I think are pretty good. One, we won't see the president's tax returns before the election, which is unfortunate. Trump can still fight Vance's subpoenas on more specific grounds, and at the end, the documents would only go to a grand jury, not to the public. Like you said, and while the court upheld Congress's right to subpoena documents from the president, there's little chance this back and forth will be settled by November. I can see that last part about Congress being upheld to subpoena the president being really worth it, right? Like, even if they don't, you know, yeah, they won't get the documents before November, but you are expressly giving them – the SCOTUS is expressly saying that Congress does have a right to subpoena the president for information.
Well, of course. They were never going to say that that wasn't the case. Like, there was no way that was going to happen.
There should be no way.
No, there was no way that they – because even if you were a Republican justice and you want to protect the Republican president, there's no way that that would not boomerang around on you at some point down the road. Like, they're smart enough to see that. And to the point, they're smart enough to see that Brett Kavanaugh even voted in the majority in this
7-2.
Right. Which is about as close to a unanimous decision as you're going to see from this fucking court in this day and age.
Because what was it? Clarence Thomas and Alito, I think, were the only.
Yeah. And they even agreed with the general principle. They just didn't agree with it in this specific instance because they're cucks.
That is correct. The second take is the Supreme Court's decision may not have really settled the question of congressional oversight. On one hand, the court unequivocally affirmed that the president can be investigated by Congress. At the same time, it did not spell out exactly how Congress should conduct such oversight. While Roberts' four-part test seems straightforward, it's going to involve a lot of judgment in practice. But that goes to your point of that's why Roberts comes out clean on this.
And look, to be fair to Roberts, it should be there should be a standard that has to be met, especially if you're going to subpoena the sitting president of the United States.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, if Joe Biden wins, guess what the Republicans are.
Right. Like if you think that they're not going to try to get back at the Democrats for having the gall to conduct oversight on the executive branch while you know, while Trump was president, then you're crazy. But there should be somewhat of a standard just to keep, you know, frivolous subpoenas from coming across there. This, I don't think, is the greatest test case for it, honestly, just because a lot of the stuff was they were looking at pre-presidency. Like they were just trying to get his tax records before he was president so they could see how it possibly could have influenced the election.
Right.
Or how he behaved in the lead up to the election.
Right. Not a quote-unquote crime while he was president.
Right.
Right.
And Trump's attorneys reportedly, this is a win for them because all they wanted to do was stall for time, basically. They just didn't want his taxes to be an election issue. That's it. That's all they wanted. They didn't care if they got an actual definite win or not. This is a win enough in their eyes.
Yeah, and they've been tweeting and publicly stating as much. Number three, the real winner isn't President Trump or Congress. The real winner here is Chief Justice Roberts, who managed to keep the court out of the political fray. He effectively with both decisions, steered the court through a really treacherous course that could have been a polarizing mess for the court to wade into. And he's done it in advance of what will likely be the most polarizing election in modern age. Yeah, I agree with that. What it tells me, though, is just how much power Roberts has over the court, right? Like, you know, we always think of like the nine justices as sort of being independently minded, but you know, obviously,
but
like ideologically, you know, there's like the three libs, and then you know the or the four libs and the five conservatives, but it's clear that Roberts has sway over some of the conservatives, if not all of them, to just be like, look, Kavanaugh, I need you to kind of go this way on this. I need, you know, I need, you know, these guys to go more so that we can get this passed so that we don't appear to be partisan, right? Like
do you think it is that simple? Or do you just think that he
– I think he can lean on people to get them to move on certain things. I think it's probably like, hey, if we go kind of neutral on this – then it pulls us out of the politics of it, and then you vote however you want down the road. I don't give a shit about that. But on this specific case, I need more neutrality.
See, on this, I feel like that this is one of the, you know, one out of five that Gorsuch will surprise you kind of votes, And then I feel like that Kavanaugh probably should have recused from this in all honesty. And maybe even Gorsuch too, to that extent.
Yeah, they were fucking hired by Trump, of course.
But Kavanaugh is just I'm not just a conservative cuck. Like that, like I feel like that just might be one of those votes for him.
Yeah, but he is. So it doesn't really matter. He's the goddamn worst.
Like I said, it's a bit of a gutless decision, I feel like. If you're looking for the court to, like, people will criticize judicial activism as well they should, because there are certainly a lot of judges out there that do it. Right. I will say that the Supreme Court has always attempted to stay away from that as far as possible. And this was a bit of a tricky case to kind of wade into that side of the pool, I think. So I think you were always going to get a very prudent decision from them on this.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see what happens with this Mazars case. At the end of the day, that's the one I care about.
If only the IRS could just be done with this audit. Trump could just release his tax returns.
I don't know if you saw that.
Did you see
the Rudy Giuliani thing?
No.
He was like, taxes have been audited. Like, we're done with that.
Oh, what the fuck? See, because McEnany was up in front of everybody last week saying, oh, it's still under audit. Even though, again, as far back as 2016, when he was running for president, the IRS was like, he can release his tax returns while we're auditing him. Like, there's nothing stopping him from doing that.
I like that they're still going with that line.
Because who's gonna say anything to them about it? The reporters are gonna push back like they always do, and they're just gonna fucking try to dance around it. But the bottom line, like, because they can't just say, well, he doesn't feel like it. That's not an acceptable answer.
At this point, just fuck off. At this point, just get out there and be like, on Trump's taxes, the president says, quote, fuck off.
Well, if he gets reelected, it'll shift to that. Because then they'll say, oh, well, he doesn't have to face the voters again, so what difference does it make?
Okay.
So.
Yo, if you can vote and you're thinking, I'm going to sit this one out or vote for Kanye West, yo, you're an asshole. Like, because we have an opportunity to do something as a population that we don't get often, mm-hmm. which is to just give one specific rich guy the fucking business. Like, one time, do you remember? Like, I feel like people need to see that video, that interview of that billionaire crying on CNN when Elizabeth Warren went after
him. I don't remember who it was, but I did.
He's like, oh, I'm so concerned. Like, that felt so collectively good to watch, like, just a non-billionaire break a billionaire to the point where he was crying, to the point where she was selling mugs that said billionaire tears on it, for God's sake. We as Americans have the opportunity to break this guy.
And like, look, truly
break him.
As Americans, there has not been too many, like, first-term clapbacks in presidential history.
No,
the only one in modern history that I can think of.
It's Bush.
Is Bush. That's about it.
And here's the thing. Bush lost on doing something that was correct, actually. Like, if we're being honest. Like, if we're all being honest here. Like, yeah, he was not the greatest of presidents. I'm not talking about, like, the generality of it. He lost because he said, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised taxes because the economy was in fucking trouble.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when a recession comes cruising along.
And Democrats crucified him for that. Arguably, he lost that race, but then Republicans ended up winning because Democrats made such a big deal about never raising taxes that the Republicans were like, okay, we'll never raise taxes. And it stuck Democrats in a fucking shit position. But for that one race, they were able to stick it to him to win.
Yeah. Literally outside of Clinton and maybe Carter. And to be fair, like, Ford wasn't even paying for his sins. He was paying for Nixon's.
Yeah. Well, he paid for
the pardon. He paid for the
pardon. Yeah, he paid for the pardon. Right. Yes. Like, yeah, you can't defend fucking Nixon, dude. It's like, just let him burn. He was like, no, he's my friend. And they were like, okay. All right. So you get one time at this. Like, that's it. Fuck you.
And I guess Reagan too, when he first got elected, was kind of a clapback on Carter. Even though Carter, like, in the light of day, separating from Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter wasn't a bad president.
No,
Jimmy Carter gets a lot of shit that he probably doesn't deserve.
Jimmy Carter got fucked over by the hostage situation. Like, that's the real thing that fucked him. And like, that
really just Middle East politics in general.
Yeah, and
he got fucked over by it.
Yeah, that oh, he was the worst president. Why? What did he do? Peanut farm? Like, I don't know. Like, in all honesty, like, he was way more progressive. He was ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just was. Like, he just – if there's anything I can really level against Jimmy Carter – and I haven't, like, super researched Jimmy Carter either. But if I had to think of one thing I really could slam Carter for, it's him bringing politics really to the forefront in politics. Or religion to the forefront of politics, right? Like, he was a real Christian, right? Like, that guy was like – and he made that a big cornerstone of who he was running for president. And that was fine when he was a good person. But then it was twisted into a bunch of psychos going, hey, I held up this Bible backwards in front of a church after I had protesters gassed, right? Like that was the sad logical conclusion of all that. So if I had one thing, I'm like, could you just keep your Christianity out of it, man? Just keep your – just stay on the peanut farm. It's fine. but that's the one thing about him that I think is a legitimate hit that has done, I would argue, irreparable damage to the political atmosphere. But that's more about it being corrupted, but still, like, he made religion a real forefront of his policies. So, I mean, he was actually a good Christian. Like, he was. The guy still builds houses, and he's 147 years old. It's fucking insane. But he's a good guy. So next up, Roger Stone gets a presidential commutation. Roger Stone, known criminal, got the president to commute his sentence. He was supposed to report to jail tomorrow. But Donald Trump came in, swooped in like the big daddy for the cuck that is Roger Stone, and saved him. One thing that's weird in this story, I would just like to point out, is the side-by-side picture of Roger Stone and Donald Trump. They both have vagina necks. I would just like to point that out.
You know, you could, they could easily fix that problem if they just add like a half inch to the collar length. That's all you got to do.
No.
I feel like you're okay.
No, they both got that turkey, vag neck thing going on. It's weird.
This is an interesting story for a variety of reasons. So Jay, I saw an interesting statistic the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Donald Trump as president has pardoned or commuted. Do you know how many sentences? So far, the answer is 36.
Wow.
Which, well, hang on. Buckle up because it's going to get awesome. So in terms of a modern day presidency, 36 pardons or commutations is a ridiculously low number. Like, it's incredibly low number. However.
Over 4 years or over 8 years?
Even over four.
Okay.
Even over 4 years. It's like usually the number is in the hundreds for most presidents. However, would you be shocked to learn, Jay, of those 36 pardons/commutations, 31 of them have been on someone connected to Trump, Jesus, either personally or politically?
I would not be shocked to hear that.
Again, for every Republican that bitched and moaned in 2016, worried about the self-dealing of Hillary Clinton, which is a fair argument, but for everyone that clutched their pearls about it, congratulations to what you have sown.
What you have wrought.
Because you are reaping it. Because you're an idiot to think that this wasn't going to fucking happen. I firmly believe that because the politics, like, just the pure politics of this are abysmally bad. This helps him in no way. Like there is nobody
who's like, man, I'm really amped to hear this news.
No, his base, but his base are going to vote for him regardless. Like, right. Like, if you have reasonable Republicans or independence that you're trying to get back over to your side, you're further driving them away. For this, let's remind folks that Roger Stone, the reason that he got convicted and went to jail is because he lied to a congressional committee investigating the election that at the time was led by Republicans. It's not like this is during the House, during the Democrat House. No, this was a Republican-led Senate committee that Roger Stone lied to. I feel like this truly only happened because Roger Stone kept his mouth shut, and Donald Trump wants to ensure that Roger Stone continues keeping his mouth shut.
That is correct. What's interesting is Stone lobbied Trump to do a commutation instead of a pardon, because a pardon is an admission of guilt. But in a statement, he's like, you know, I'm getting my sentence or my decision commuted because I didn't roll over on Trump. Not that I didn't lie, that I didn't roll over, which is mob speak. Like, oh, I did the crime, but I didn't dime him out, so I get out. Because he's looking out for me. Like understand the language that's being used. They are telling you in the open that they are okay with committing crimes, but he didn't roll on his boy, so it's fine.
I'm going to read you a quote, Jay. This is a quote from the official White House statement.
Oh boy.
That was made when they announced this commutation. Quote, Roger Stone is a victim of the Russia hoax, capital letters, that the left and its allies in the media perpetuated for years in an attempt to undermine the Trump presidency. End quote. That's on the official White House. That statement is going to be recorded into the logs of history.
Library
for
of
people
Congress,
to look back on. And observe in future generations when allegedly we will get back to having a legitimate president at some point in our future.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. This guy was found to be guilty. Like you said, he lied to a congressional committee. He lied to the FBI. He lied to Mueller. Mueller even came out. This is such bullshit that even Mueller wrote an op-ed, was like, Roger Stone is a criminal. It will always be known as one, rightfully so. Like, it's like he is a criminal. He's a lifelong criminal. Chris Hayes had a whole thing about like, this is now the party of Roger Stone, which is accurate. Like, it's not crazy to say, because these guys are all about criminality and justifying criminality and pushing it up and allowing it to happen. And Stone's behavior in like threatening Randy Credico with like basically murder all just is like, yeah, it's fine. It's all fine. Like, no big deal. So it feels more if you look into Roger Stone, his behavior is all very like mob-like. Like, he wants to be like a mobster so bad, though he comes off as more of like Great Value Penguin from the 1966 Batman television show.
Specifically, that Penguin, to be sure. Like, the Burt is Meredith version.
Yes, absolutely. and so they try to come off as like gangsters and tough guys. But what they actually are cowards, right? They don't really give a fuck about the rule of law. They don't care about this country. They care about what they can get. And it has now become painfully obvious to people who have not been paying attention, which is not people like us, but people who are just now paying attention, these guys are straight up criminals. Like, they just are. And so, yeah, Roger Stone gets off.
And people on the right were very quick to point out that that Bill Clinton pardoned his brother Roger while he was president for cocaine possession, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and
so what?
You know what? Well, but here's the thing. Not at all the same situation.
No, that's number one. So what?
We understand that Bill Clinton, kind of a scummy dude. Yeah, number two,
of course.
Roger Clinton actually went to prison for a period of time. Like, it's not like he got pardoned before he had to set foot in the jail. And again, people are forgetting the crime that Roger Stone was convicted of. And again, it's not only the lying to Congress, but what was he lying about? He was lying about colluding with a foreign power to help sway an American presidential election to the guy that he was working for.
Right. He was a
go-between. That should scare the shit out of everybody.
Right. He was a fucking go-between. By the way, spoiler alert, you don't think he'd do it again?
Oh, especially now, and especially because the die has been cast, right? Like you've already, it's already been clear that if you do this, and even if you're found guilty, as long as Trump is still the president,
he'll protect you.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. You don't have to worry about it. And the other thing that should scare folks as well is if Donald Trump is willing to do this, something so brazenly corrupt, out in the open, like you can't hide it. It's not like you're doing, like he tried his best to stash it away, you know, Friday night news dump, 6 o'clock, that kind of bullshit.
Right.
But if he's willing to do this as out in the open as he is, and he's running for re-election, imagine what he'd be willing to do if he doesn't ever have to face the voters ever again.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is where, like, the rubber meets the road. Like, there is no conversation to be had that a Trump presidency, if he wins re-election, will not be balls to the wall insane.
If he somehow managed to get re-elected, like, if he loses, I think you're going to see a lot of this condensed into the 2 month or 2.5.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Lame duck period where most, it's going to be just a way, fucking smash and grab.
Right. Well, that's the most dangerous time in American history. I can tell you that right now. It will be the most dangerous time.
But imagine like a smashing in of the jewelry case, but spread out across 4 years.
4 years. Well, basically. What makes you think it's going to be only four?
Well, true.
Right? Because according to him, it's not fair that they had 3 years of investigations and shit like that. He'll justify this shit. And William Barr will be right there to fucking back him up and
even somehow William figure out William Barr was like, what the fuck are you doing? And by the way,
yeah, even if you're William
Barr,
this.
If you're William Barr, like, how the fuck does that make how? Well, I know how you should feel. He's a fucking ghoul that is incapable of actual human emotion and shame. So he probably doesn't feel this. But well, if yeah, you
it,
but
men if die, you, Brett,
they do. They do. People die. It is what it is.
Not soon enough.
Not soon enough. But if you are willing to cape for him the way that he's willing to cape for him, and this motherfucker can't even listen to you on the few matters that you're actually your head's in the right spot. And again, not because William Barr is altruistic, but because he realizes the optics are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and you can't and he can't even listen to you. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'd be livid if I were William Barr.
Yeah. No. I like, nah. Fuck that. Like, Barr's a piece of shit, but even if Barr is telling you, like, dude, don't do that. Like, maybe listen to, like, he's basically your consigliere here. Like, maybe listen to that guy. He's gotten you pretty far on his bullshit. Like, maybe he's the guy. But, again, if you're thinking about not voting, and that by the way, I don't think that's anybody listening to this show. That would be crazy. I will come to your house and yell at you personally. And I will. You have to pay for the flight if it's far. But people thinking about like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll vote. No, man. This is life or death. This is life or death. Because I can tell you, like, you think those Black Lives Matter protests continue without massive military intervention if he's reelected? You want to take a guess? I'll bet you $1 million that I don't have that he will crack down and he will crack down hard.
I still can't like the people that are still willing to support him. And I'm not talking about like the loony birds in his base that
right.
Like, those like people that, don't where matter. He's like the cult figure. I'm talking about the people who are reasonable enough people that just have Republican beliefs. And the unwillingness, cause, and I know some of them, the unwillingness that they're able to go to not see that this is a uniquely dangerous situation. Right. Like they'll equivocate anything. Well, we'll all both sides do it. No. It literally has never been anyone. Like, Nixon was corrupt as shit.
He wouldn't do this.
And this makes Nixon look like a fucking choir boy with what we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone say that we've had corrupt presidents, Nixon. We've had massively incompetent presidents in Hoover. But we've never had a massively incompetent president who's also insanely corrupt.
No.
And you're seeing it right now. So, and again, to equivocate this and to be concerned because Joe Biden is 78 and has been in government for 45 years, and you think that somehow that's equally as bad, or you think that somehow that, insane, Joe Biden is like just as bad as Trump. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's, like, those Joe are Biden, people who don't read policy.
Joe Biden has just been a public servant
his entire
for longer than any of us have been alive, honestly.
Yeah.
And you can disagree with policy stances that Joe Biden has or has had in the past, and that is completely reasonable to do. But to suggest that he's anywhere nearly – Joe Biden, to be fair, is not, like, a corrupt guy at all. Like Joe Biden famously was, like, the poorest guy in the Senate for the 40 years that he was in the Senate.
Right.
Like the stories about him taking the train, you know, back home to fucking Delaware.
Yeah, it's
Delaware.
This whole thing.
Right. That's the whole Joe Biden myth. And I'm not saying that Joe Biden hasn't made his money since getting out of the White House. Of course he has, just like everybody else does. They go on the speaking tour and whatever. Like, I get that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, people want to pay you $200,000 to talk a bunch of bullshit. I wish they'd call me.
Right. Like you're going to do it too. Trust me. But Joe Biden didn't go to, like, some lobbying company when he was done. Like, no. Joe Biden just was Joe Biden. And I get not being excited about Joe Biden, but again, to compare the two of them and to think that on some level that Joe Biden is anywhere near as corrupt, even if you think Joe Biden's like a dirty old man because he sniffs hair. Yes, he is. You're right. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Yeah, right.
But Trump, it's staggering how much damage that he has done in almost 4 years. And it would be even more staggering if he had four more years to do more damage to the foundation that our government is built on. And it absolutely would happen. I cannot understand anyone who still cannot grasp that. I just don't get it.
Yeah. No, I don't either. It is insane to think that, like, people just do not understand that fundamental fact. Like, that's bothersome to me. But the other side of that is, like, you don't, okay, so you think that Biden and Trump are the same. Like, okay, do you really think in your heart of hearts that Joe Biden would have let 130,000 Americans die and just done nothing? You can't possibly believe that. Like, you can't legitimately believe that he would have let that many people die and just given up, which is what we were seeing from the White House, just given up. Not if you pay attention to politics, not if you actually know the details to anything, not if you're actually paying attention. Like, you don't have to like Joe Biden. He doesn't have to be your first choice. He certainly wasn't any of ours. But I'll take a Joe Biden presidency over Donald Trump any day of the week. This is not a hard decision for me. It's very easy. Like, there's Diamond Joe, and then it's like Stephen Miller, Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, and all his other fucking piece of shit people all associated with hardcore right-wing politics. No thanks. To paraphrase Steve Schmidt, who I listened to talk today, I'm like, why did you fuck with the coffee guy? What were you doing? But to paraphrase him, these people are small men. What does he say? Small and unserious men in a very serious time. And that's what you have running for president on the right. And that's what that party is. It is not enough for us to beat Donald Trump. It is for us to destroy him and Trumpism and every Republican who we even have a remote chance of beating. We have to make them so ashamed that they talk about Donald Trump like they talk about George W. Bush, which is they fucking don't. They don't. You ever notice that? They don't say shit about George W. Bush anymore. Nothing. He shows up. Democrats talk more about him like, oh, look at him hugging Michelle Obama.
Well,
Republicans don't say shit about him.
I feel like a lot of that is a knock-on effect because of Trump. Because Trump and the people that support Trump fucking hate George Bush.
I don't think they really hate him all that much. I don't think so.
You don't think the Trump and his sycophants?
No.
Dislike
because
George
those
Bush?
Are the same people who were sycophants to the religious right and everything else until Trump. They just shift. These people don't believe in anything. Believe in anything. These are the same religious fucking lunatics who are like, George W. Bush is a savior of the religion. He's going to get gays out of here and all this other shit. Oh, he sucks now? Nope. I guarantee you, if Trump loses, and it's still an if because we don't know, right? I mean, according to, you know, all the logical metrics, he should get destroyed. But if he loses, give it one fucking year and the Republican Party will not ever talk about Donald Trump. They will not mention him.
One year. That's an interesting take there.
Oh, you think it's less?
6 months.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll take it. I'll give you 6 months.
Dude, they will forget he fucking existed. You'll fucking call them on some bullshit they defended Trump on, and their response will literally be, new phone, who dis?
Yeah. Huh? Donald who? Nah. Wasn't Hillary president before? No. They don't give a fuck. White House begins campaign to trash Dr. Fauci, as one does when one runs out of answers.
This shit's COVID-19. Amazing to me as well. This is a week of amazement.
This can't be a shock to you. The only shock to me is that it took this long.
Again, it's not surprising, but it's still shocking. Like it's one of those things that like you're not surprised it's happening, but it's still something else to actually see it going on. And again, I have to call on the general public who were really wanting to believe the White House on this shit. The folks that do, like, not smart people, obviously.
Not smart.
But the folks out there who, again, think that a guy like Anthony Fauci has a political agenda in coming out and saying the things that he says about COVID. Anthony Fauci is a scientist.
Yeah.
The only thing that Anthony Fauci cares about is science. He couldn't give a shit who the president is. You know how I know? Because he's been in the same position for like, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
At this point, across administrations, you know, from both sides of the aisle. They were just running back some, the last several, you know, both Bushes, both had complimentary things to say about Anthony Fauci. Like HW, they ran a quote back from him when he was president, talking about like, oh, you know who's a really smart guy who's doing a lot of great work on AIDS? This guy Tony Fauci. You probably don't know who he is. Like, this is a quote back in like 1988.
Yep.
that they had Bush on. Like, this dude has been around and he's a fucking scientist. Like, that's all he is. He doesn't give a shit who the president is. He couldn't care less. You know what he does care about? He cares about saving fucking lives. He cares about the country not being overrun by what seems to be a very difficult to contain virus.
So
that's what he cares about.
So if I were a person who worked under an organization that dealt with science for the government, if I was one of those people, I would have an opinion that is what I said. And again, I'm not connected to these people. I'm just saying if I were. This is why when people said they were concerned about Fauci and everything, and I said, look, I'm not afraid of him breaking. I'm not afraid of him taking the, you know, like towing the line for Trump and everything else, because he is a scientist. And the fact of the matter is, his career before Trump, after Trump, and during Trump matters on his ability to believe in facts. and he has built a massive reputation on being a truth teller and working in fact-based science. He is not going to suddenly change course at like 70 years old to destroy his entire storied career for the fucking idiot in the White House. He's not going to do that. He'd rather be fired over it. He would rather be fired than to actually go, okay, yeah, I'll just light my career on fire. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do it. And it's exactly what I assume would happen, which is they would turn on him eventually because facts are inconvenient to them. They always have been.
Yeah, it's and again, like, a lot of folks are out there like, oh, the information changes all the time. Yeah. For those that are not aware, and again, not anyone listening to this podcast, I would assume.
How science works?
Here's how science works. You know what science doesn't do, Jay? And you know this as a smart person. Science doesn't deal in absolutes. Science says,
no, it's here's not a the best, Sith. Get out of here.
Right. Here's the best information that we have. Based on the information, this is the consensus that we have reached. And if new information becomes available down the road that disproves this hypothesis, then we will certainly take it under advisement and adjust our opinion from there. So in the wake of this disease, which has been, you know, going on now for 6+ months, yeah, things have been different. Yeah, things aren't exactly the same. But you know what Fauci hasn't done? He's never nailed himself down to a specific position. He's always been the guy that's like, hey, based on what we know, based on what we've observed, based on what we've tested, this is what's going on.
Right. You want to know how irritating it is to listen to people who don't understand science talk about science? It drives me crazy. Because they'll be like, well, he said that back then the consensus was this. Or he said that this is the definitive thing. No, he didn't.
Show me the quote.
Yeah. No, he didn't. You know why? Because that's not how science works, my man. You don't get to where Dr. Fauci is by saying hardcore facts on shit that you just don't know. You know how irritating it would be for me to work a 40-hour-a-week job and deal with scientists and ask them straightforward questions about science, and they give you a non-definitive answer? That would be crazy. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that on a 40-hour-a-week job.
And let's say that just back saying. In February, we had a competent president that listened to experts around him. And let's say that they had gone to the extreme step. Let's say that they put the whole country on full lockdown for like 3 weeks. And let's say it took a hammer, like it took a hammer blow to the economy. And it was just a really fucking rough time. And thousands of people lost their jobs, kind of like they have right now. Yeah. And we dug ourselves into a major fucking hole. But because we did it, the coronavirus was pretty much non-existent like it is in other countries. And the death toll, let's say the final death toll ended around, I don't know, 15,000. Would you prefer that to the reality that we're living in right now, where what are we at, 130,000?
Yeah.
Give or take. We still had to deal with the recession anyway. And yeah, like that would have been hard. This is going to be hard regardless. There is no easy answer to this.
Yeah.
And the people who were just like, well, fuck it, we tried. Let's just let everyone get the disease. Like people are pointing at Sweden right now as like, well, look what, you know, Sweden didn't take any of these terrible crackdowns, and you know, they let people roll around and this, that, or the other. And they're basically back to normal now. And they kind of are. Like that's certainly true. It definitely made its way through Sweden. But do you know what you had to do to get to that point?
You had to sacrifice old people, man.
You had to sacrifice old people. You literally like Sweden had about 23,000, I think, was the death toll that I saw, which compared to other countries in Europe, especially considering their size, was way disproportionate.
Yeah, no, it's astronomical
to their population. And the way that they got there is that doctors basically just decided not to treat high risk patients.
Yep.
Period. Point blank. Like, it's not even like their ICUs were at capacity. They were just like, fuck it. We're not going to expend the resources.
Yep.
And that is certainly a technocratic and a way that you can handle that situation.
I wouldn't recommend it.
But unless you're willing to do it for your grandmother or your grandfather or your immunocompromised brother or sister or child, unless you're willing to put to volunteer them as tribute,
to volunteer them as tribute,
then I don't think you get to take that stance. And I feel like that a whole lot of the people who are taking that stance, they say, well, you know, we'll just kill the old people. It wouldn't feel the same if it was your old person.
Yeah, this is a weird stance I don't understand. Are you cool with like your grandma being murdered?
No, they're cool with the theoretical version of life being snuffed out. They're cool with the statistic being taken care of.
You know what? Andy, if Andy were here, he would probably make this observation, so I will make it. You know, In the divorce of America, who knew that liberals would get the pro-life stance? Yeah, we got that one too.
Jay, liberals have always had the pro-life stance. Republicans have had the pro-birth stance. That's not the same thing.
I would argue, yes. But yeah, no, we win that one too. Give me that. Because according to fucking all Republicans, at least Republican politicians, and a whole lot of just Republican, you know, general fans, I would call them. Yeah, they don't really give a fuck about people's lives. They don't. They don't even fuck about old people's lives. And apparently, increasingly, they don't seem to give a fuck about young people's lives, which is weird. It's a real easy one to care about. They're like, eh.
Jay, I would argue that they've never cared about young people's lives, considering the massive school shootings that they continue to do nothing about.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. I just think it is more obvious now.
Yeah. Like I said, they lost the moral high ground on that one once 26 kids died in Connecticut.
Well, I mean, Brad, they could surely wear bulletproof backpacks, right? Right? That's a reasonable thing for an adult human to say about children going to school. And yet I watched a clip of Meghan McCain saying, how dare you, Joy Behar, say that Republicans don't care about kids. I'm like, can I be on The View? I know it's like a lady show. Can I just be on like one episode where I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, and again, if you're gonna cherry pick your research, because again, here's how science works. Anyone can have a quackpot theory and publish it, and it could be out there. So if you're gonna come to a conclusion and then you're gonna shop for evidence that supports your conclusion, that's fine. But I need you to also mention that the consensus view, like the 95% consensus view, says the other thing. And again, I'm a guy that. You know, I'm a guy that when I play the odds, I try to play the best odds, Jay. And to me, I'm taking the 19 out of 20 chance instead of the 1 in 5. It just seems like the smarter bet.
Well, just saying. As people know, Brad is a bit of a cuck. So, of course, he's gonna, I'll take the thing that's safe. Coward.
This is exactly Galileo fucking saying the world is flat when nobody had access to information. You know what I mean?
No one's going to know for a couple
years. Not quite at that level, I don't think.
Fair enough.
God, how is it that we have the most access to information in literally all of human history, and yet we are dumber than we ever have been?
I don't know that we're dumber, but we're pretty close to the top. like we are pretty close to the – I mean, certainly when you look at it proportionally to the level of knowledge, yeah, we're the dumbest. We're by far the dumbest. I don't believe in vaccines. It's history and data that you could read. Nah, fuck that. It's the mark of the beast. You know what? You're right, Kanye. I can't wait for you to be president. Betsy DeVos, we don't talk about her often enough, I would argue. Betsy DeVos gives disastrous interview on CNN about kids returning to schools in the fall. So
I didn't watch this. She's one of the people in the administration, which, I mean, to be fair, is like all of the people in the administration, that I find it very difficult to listen and watch talk.
Yes.
Like Ben Carson, I can do it because I'm laughing at Ben Carson the entire time because he's just a fucking dullard.
My luggage.
But like she makes me very angry whenever I have to listen to her speak.
Yeah. Here's the thing I learned about Betsy DeVos today. No, that's not true. No, I always do this. Betsy DeVos is an idiot. But Betsy DeVos is that type of idiot, that type of idiocy that only comes from being incredibly wealthy and everyone assuming that you're smart because you have money.
She is the final evolution of Karen, is what Betsy DeVos yeah. is. Like in the Pokemon evolution tree, she is what you aspire to get your Karen to evolve into.
Yeah, you go from a Becky to a Karen to a Betsy. Like, yeah, now that makes sense. She is just a deer in headlights for 20 minutes in this interview, where Dana Bash asks her basic questions and she is simply incapable of answering them. The thing about this this interview that is maddening is Dana Bash is asking her, like, look, we all get that we all want kids to go back to school. That's not an argument. Like, we're not arguing that they shouldn't go back to school, but how do you do it and make sure that they're safe? And Betsy DeVos is incapable of answering that question, because Betsy DeVos in the education department have developed no procedures, no logic, no reason on anything. And so she is just banking on everyone else to do the work. Like, it is painfully obvious that she doesn't know what she's talking about, ever.
And again, for me, so, like, I've heard Andy on the show the last couple weeks, and Andy's talking about how he's really frustrated because he's going to have to homeschool Hank during his kindergarten year.
Right.
I've heard you talk about how frustrating it is because you have to, you know, you're going to keep your daughter in daycare.
Well, I'm not going to.
Exactly, that you're not going to do that. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do, because here's the thing. My son is special needs.
That was a question I was going to ask you.
Yeah, even if they open schools back up again and they require kids to wear masks, he's not going to fucking do that.
No.
And he's in a small classroom. But kids that are the way he is don't exactly adhere to social distancing boundaries and things of that nature. Right. And so I have an impossible choice to make, because I can't homeschool my child. Even though he'd be with his grandparents, he has a special program that he is responsible for.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What the fuck I'm gonna do. Like we just don't. Like if they were to open schools back up in Baltimore County, I just it's an impossible decision to have to make.
I've been thinking, like, I think about this constantly, and I probably wouldn't think about it nearly as much if I didn't have kids, but I do have a kid, and I you know, it's like one of those things where they say, you know, you wouldn't understand this until you have children, right? And you're just like, when you don't have kids, you're like, oh, fuck off. and then you have kids, you're like, oh, shit. I don't want to say it, but it's true. You don't understand. Goddamn kids.
But see, the benefit is then you get to use that phrase. It's fantastic.
No, I'm like, you don't fucking get it. What we're going through over here. So I listened to the clip of, so I listened to this entire like 21 minute interview, which was maddening. I'm sitting in my office alone, right? I'm at work. I had to go in today. And I'm listening to this, and there's no one else in my office because there's only one person allowed in our entire area at a time. So the group of like 11 people, there's just me there today. And I'm literally in my office like, what the fuck are you talking about, lady? Like, I'm like yelling at the screen because I'm so annoyed by that interview. But I also listened to Joy Behar and Meghan McCain sort of argue about this specific interview. And Meghan McCain was like, well, you know, she definitely needs media training. And yeah, Joy Behar's like, yeah, I'm like, that's
your takeaway. Great job, Meghan McCain.
Yeah, you're fucking worthless. Idiot. Right. But Joy Behar just starts laughing. And they go to her and she was like, well, I think it's really serious that she does need media training. She's really not good at this. And you should be good at this for this job. And Joy Behar is like, oh, no, I agree with you. I just think it's the least of her problems because, quote, she sucks, is what she said, which was hilarious. Even to the point where Meghan McCain started laughing.
Now, see, I would like to see that clip. Actually.
Yeah, no, she does. She does say she was like, because she sucks. And to the point, all four of them started laughing, including Meghan McCain, which was great. But then, you know, Meghan McCain makes this argument, which is the argument that I think is incorrect. And I'll bring it back to my previous point, which was, she's like, well, you know, I have friends who have kids and like, they just really, you know, we got to get these kids back in school because, you know, it's really hard for them and, you know, they got to get back to work and stuff like that. And the entire time I can feel myself getting angry and I just said out loud, what the fuck about the kids if they die? And that to me is the thing that no one is saying because nobody wants to say it because it's a horrible thought. And I get that it's a horrible thought. And I think about it and it fucking scares me. What if kids die? What the fuck are you going to do? Right? It's not about, well, because everybody keeps dancing around the shit. Oh, well, what if they spread it to their parents? Well, maybe they can't spread it to their parents. I don't know. What if we have to close schools? No. The real fucking question is, what the fuck are you going to do if kids die from this shit? Are you going to close schools then? Because by the way, 130,000 people dying is really fucking tragic and horrible. And it doesn't feel good to know that those people died and everything like that. And there are some children who have died. But when you're specifically opening schools and you see that kids are dying because of a decision you directly made that you didn't have to make, what are you going to do? You think Barron's going to be okay? Barron will be fine. Barron, whatever school Barron goes to, the school that all the president's kids go to, he will be fine. I can guarantee he ain't even going. I'm sure it'll be all digital, right? They'll bring someone to his house, whatever.
He'll be fine. And here's the thing, too. Like,
what are those kids going to do?
If you're exacerbated, and I completely understand
people
who are exacerbated that are just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. It's not like that people are doing daycare right now, and I've got to work, and this, that, or the other, and I get that. But your anger needs to be directed at the people who have put you into this situation.
Bingo.
And that is the federal government that, despite giving, you know, tons of shutdowns across the country, like the shutdowns, the point of them, at the end of the day, is to buy time to develop a response, is to give us a chance to work through a response and a way to work through the situation.
Right.
And the federal government, and this isn't just a Trump thing, honestly, like you can kick some blame onto Congress for this as well, did nothing to prepare us for this. And we're it's like, it's like someone finally fucking realized in mid-June, oh shit, we got school that we got to put together in 2 months here. What the fuck are we going to do? And it's like they weren't even fucking thinking about it up until then.
Yeah. Look, everybody's like, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? What's the solution? Here's a solution. I don't know if it's the solution, but here's one. The federal government has plenty of money. The federal government could stop fucking around and giving people $1,800 one time. You could afford to pay people, you know, a check for $1,000 a month for every adult in the house. Give people $2,000. Let's, in a two-parent household, you get $2,000 a month to take care of your fucking kids. And that one parent, or if that person has to be unemployed, they can stay home with their kids. The opposite, which is mom or dad or both go back to work and the kid gets sent into school. Betsy DeVos is talking about full time.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that you're sitting there, and again, the whole purpose behind getting kids in school is, well, we got to open the economy back up. We got to get the economy.
That's all they care about, dude.
They do, but again, they seem to think that people are just going to go along with it. They're like, you're not putting the human element into the mix. And there are some people like yourself, you've talked about it, that are going to be like, look, I'm not going to work.
Look,
if it's a choice between working
and my kid
or staying home or my child.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, here's a level of honesty you will not hear from me normally. I'm not saying this is like a bragging thing. This is me giving up a six-figure job for my kid, right? Because I care about my kid that much. I'm not going to let my kid die. I'm not. Or potentially have cognitive issues. And by the way, I'm not saying it as a judgment of other parents who are in a situation they cannot do that. That is not the judgment. I live in a very privileged situation that I can do that. But that is me giving up. I don't work at fucking McDonald's, right? Like, where like my, you know, my spouse makes tons of money and I'm just playing around 40 hours a week. No, I have a real fucking job. Right. I bust my ass to make it to that position. I am giving that up because of the 1-year-old I have living upstairs right now. As I give a fuck about her. And again, that's not a judgment of anybody else. It really is not.
And we're lucky enough too that, you know, we have her parents who are both retired.
Right.
Who live close. Who,
and my parents are thinking, both of my parents are thinking about retiring.
Right. Even if they decided not to, if we decided not to send him back to school, at least I wouldn't have to worry about who's taking care of him.
Right.
Like if my wife or I, like you have the, I don't want to say the luxury because, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be easy if you had to quit your job, but you have the stability financially to be able to make that decision.
Right.
If me and my wife can't work, we're going to have a fucking problem.
Right. Because
we rely on both of our incomes.
Right.
So.
But that being said, right, like, my parents are both thinking about retiring. My mom works as a nurse at an adult daycare facility, right? Like, she's like, they don't have a setup to protect one, the patients or her. These people, it's not a nursing home. Like, these people go home at the end of the day mm-hmm. and then come back. So how the fuck are they supposed to protect them? And most of those people are mentally, like, incapable. They don't know what social distancing is, right? So in a way, it's you know, it's like they're all special needs, right? Like it's kind of like your son's situation, right? Like he doesn't understand social distancing. Like that's just not a concept that he gets, and that's okay. But you can't just throw kids to the fucking wolves, just like you can't just throw people who are adults in similar situations. You can't just throw them to the wolves. And then just like in schools, you can't also throw teachers and or nurses to the wolves. That you can't. Have we learned nothing from the last couple of months with this shit? The people who we depend on the most are these frontline workers and people delivering our food and taking care of our parents and taking care of our kids. If you damage that system, what are you going to do? There are so many teachers I'm talking to because my wife works in education, so I know a lot of teachers and things like that. They're like, I'm not teaching this year.
Right. I'll take it to the degree. I also happen to know a lot of teachers, to a man or woman, really, honestly. I don't think I know any male teachers. But to a woman, none of them are posting shit like, yeah, we got to get back in there. Every
Zero.
Teacher that I know is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because they understand what a school is.
Right.
And look, I get it, man. I have been working from home. My wife and I have been working from home this entire time and taking care of a kid. It is fucking impossible. Okay. Like going into work these last couple of days, because I've had to, I'm like, oh, look how much work I can get done. It's amazing. like it is a different story.
Yeah. Like for me, I'm in the same boat because like they were doing the week on week off rotations, and then since we're pretty spread apart in our office, they're not mandating it anymore.
Right.
And so I was continuing to do it for a while. And then like, I got to a point where it was just like, God, I don't feel like packing my stuff up. And
yeah.
I kind of like coming to the office and not being stuck at home. I was like, so I think I'll just stay at the office. Like, right. That's literally exactly. Where I got to.
But you get more done. And I recognize right. That. Right. So it is easier for me to go to work. But for the vast majority of these last couple of months, I've been home every single day. It's really hard. But you know what? You know what would be really hard? It would be much harder. Knowing my kid's gone. That would be impossible. It would be impossible.
And again, it just goes back to, and this is a most, this is a human problem, but in terms of the country and how we respond to things, it's a mostly right-wing problem, is that you don't think about people as people. You think about them as a concept.
Right.
And so when you say, only 0.02 or however many 0.2 or whatever fucking percentage they throw out there of people that have died from this disease that they got, you can't just say, it's 0.2%. You have to break that shit down into hard numbers. And what does it boil down to? Like, if it's 0.2% of people that die that catch COVID, and let's just assume that like half the kids catch COVID.
Right.
What is that, like 12,000 deaths?
Right.
15,000 deaths?
You
And again,
is America cool with that?
We're fine with it.
Is it, is America cool with 15,000 kids dying?
But again, conservatives tend to be, as long as their kids not in that group. Because I don't know a single fucking person who is going to like fucking bear me the strength to be the person that's able to get on Twitter whose child just died from this and is like, we still made the right decision.
Right.
Like, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that.
I'd be like, cool. If that were me and I had lost my kid and I tweeted some shit like that out, one, I wouldn't. But if I tweeted some shit like that out and someone was like, well, we made the right decision, I'd be like, cool. Do me a favor. Send me your address. I'm coming right over. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to beat you with this Ben Shapiro size baseball bat I have. Like, no.
But again, if you're someone that's advocating for this and you lose your child because of it, you are going to be devastated and you're going to look back on it and think, what the fuck was I thinking?
Right.
How the fuck could I possibly think that this was a good idea?
Right. You had
technocracy exists so far up until there's a personal impact because we're not robots.
We're not.
We have emotions. We care about things.
This is the difference between us and them. It is. It's not that Republicans don't have empathy. They just can't get empathy until it affects them directly.
Yes.
Then they go, Got it. You would swear that all Republicans have been forced into abortions the way they pretend to be so empathetic to the plights of.
But again, you see it all the time. How many Republican congressmen that were staunch anti-abortionists all of a sudden show up getting an abortion with their mistress?
Oh yeah,
because all of a sudden it's in their backyard.
Whoa!
I didn't mean that I shouldn't be able to get abortions. I meant that you people should be able to get
abortions. The minorities. Yeah, I mean, of course, and I just.
And again, and I know that this is the case because how, like, do you see any parents of kids that have been killed in school shooting, like getting out there advocating for, we actually should have more guns in school.
I'm
sure there's a few fucking crazies, but on a whole, most people you talk to, even if they were like super like gung-ho Second Amendment rights people beforehand, were just like, yeah, I don't know if I feel the same way anymore because this shit affected me now.
Yeah, my kid's gone.
So that's perfectly acceptable to feel that way, to change your stance on something when it personally affects you. I just wish that you could get there and realize that everyone's important to somebody.
Yeah, that's the part I don't get. That right there. That's the part I don't get. How do you not extrapolate out? What if that was me? But Jay,
what if I have to pay more taxes as a result?
Good point. Touche. I
earned that money, Jay. It shouldn't be going to some poors that aren't pulling themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, taxes theft, man. Come on. Everybody knows that. Fucking ridiculous. I literally got into a massive argument with libertarians. I was like, so how would you solve this COVID problem? They were like, oh, it'll just solve itself, basically. I was like, all right.
Of course.
I'm out.
I can't remember where I saw the quote, but once I saw this quote, I can't stop thinking about it. Republicans love to tell you how inefficient and incompetent government is, and then they get elected and show you.
That's right. That's their whole thing. Government can't do anything. The way you guys run it, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're terrible at it. They don't know how to govern. They don't. They're awful at it. They prove it every year. Next up. All right, Bray, here we go. Here's the story.
Yeah, I clicked on it. The headline's interesting.
Yeah. Wait till you hear the numbers, Brad. This is from New York Mag. I titled this in the docket, you're scared yet? You should be. Title of this article is, this is New York Magazine. This recession is a bigger housing crisis than 2008. So one, it's a really interesting article and it's very good, but there's only really one paragraph you need to hear. So because of coronavirus, because so many people are out of work, the economy obviously is doing really poorly. And here's the paragraph that should scare the shit out of you. Pay attention to the numbers and the dates. They're very important. Between 2006 and 2014, right? Got that? About 10 million Americans lost their homes to the foreclosure crisis. Today, upwards of 20 million U.S. renters are poised to be evicted between now and September. Yeah.
So here's something that you don't realize. I have insight to a little part of this.
Okay.
Because my wife works for an apartment company.
Okay.
And she works in the maintenance department. She's like the field assistant for the maintenance department.
Okay.
At this apartment company. And one of the things that the maintenance department handles.
Evictions.
Is evictions. Ugh. And she literally told me days ago. Like, I'm not shitting you at all when I tell you this. She literally told me days ago, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do in September when evictions come back. Because there are so many people that are behind right now.
What are we going to do, man? What are we going to do?
And here's the thing. So people that don't subscribe or believe that we should be doing something about rent and mortgage forgiveness, they'll sit there and say, well, I understand where you're coming from, but what about the renters? Or the rent? Would that be the renters? The rentees?
The landlords.
What about the landlords? Because they need to make money too.
Yeah. What about them, bro?
But if
what about those fat cats?
Well, okay, yes, they do. But if they're not getting money from these tenants, and they evict them, and they kick them out,
what money are they getting?
Where exactly do you plan on getting?
Well, there's all these other people
to fill these buildings.
There's all these other people just dying to get into these new apartment buildings who also have no money.
I'm sure there's a backlog right now of you know, people that are just dying to get into apartments. I don't think that's how that works right now.
Well, all the homeless people, they're all just waiting for apartments. That's really the reason.
Oh, I see. So again, the landlords aren't going to get that money anyway. And all you're going to do is just create another housing crisis for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people.
So
it seems to me like the best thing you could do would either be to ensure that you kick out on a stimulus so that people can cover the cost of housing and things of that nature and still also contribute to the economy, by the way, because you don't want that to die, or just pay the landlords directly. Or maybe a bit of both. Maybe a little column A and a little column B. it seems like that the people that are really, really dying to get the economy turned back on don't actually want to do the things that you need to do to get the economy turned back on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's like we want the economy on, but we also want to be – like when we say that, what we really want – Like we want the economy to be working well, but what we really want is for the stock market to be doing well. Like, that's kind of the end goal, and that's all we really care about.
But the stock market is not going to go up until there's stability, so. You know, Brad,
can you cut some taxes for rich people?
Right. It's interesting that you're advocating for such like, glorious handouts.
One of the things that Republicans have been continuing to rail, it's like, well, we should have a holiday for payroll tax.
Yeah, when you sent me that, yo, I got super mad at that list.
Here's the thing about payroll tax is that order to receive the benefit of a payroll tax, you need to be on a payroll.
What the fuck?
And if you're not working, or if you lost your job or your hours have been dropped back, you ain't gonna see a lot of benefits from that because you ain't getting a paycheck. Your employer will.
Let me pull up that bullshit you sent me, because I need people to know what you wrote and then what I responded with. Brad sends Andy and I this tweet from Jeff Stein at the Washington Post. It says Larry Kudlow today on some key White House priorities for phase four. Payroll tax holiday. Brad just explained why that's dumb as shit. Quote, unemployment reforms. White House wants to knock down the $600 plus
again
Hold for again. That. Hold for that because that is super relevant.
We can expound on it more, but again, you want the economy to do well, but you want to take away people's money so that they can contribute to the economy. Makes sense to me.
But I'm about to make it even worse. But we're going to come back to that. Return to work bonuses. Only corporate fat cats get work bonuses, as Brad and I have discussed previously before hitting record. PPP extension. So you're going to extend it more to the millionaires and billionaires who you were giving money to and giving native reservations.
The Ayn Rand Institute can dip back into the pool again.
Right. You know, you got to keep them afloat. Targeted / direct form of stimulus checks. Sure. Maybe try not to send billions of dollars to dead people, whatever. and then the last one that made me really mad, which was a capital gains holiday. Nothing says helping the working man like a capital gains holiday. They don't have capital gains. Capital gains are from fucking stocks. No, yep. this is not the guy.
And again,
working at the Pick and Save is not a capital gains mogul.
It's one thing to try to get that in legislation. Like, it's one thing if you're in Congress and you're going back and forth and you're trying to get shit in there. It's one thing to try to slide that in there. As a rider,
right.
Or slide that in there as an amendment. That's one thing, and that's shitty, but that's normal government shitty. To be Larry Kudlow and to announce that shit.
Yeah, these are the publicly bullet points.
These are the things that are the most important to us. Capital gains holiday. How fucking out of touch are you?
Pretty well
with your constituency.
Right. Oh, he's drunk half the time, so how the fuck does he know? So the $600 plus up, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me explain to folks who don't know what that is and why I'm about to fucking make you real mad in reference to this housing recession story, right? So just keep in mind what I said. 8 years of the housing recession, 2006 mm-hmm. to 2014, generated 10 million people getting kicked out of their homes. 8 years. We're talking double the amount of people. It is July, from July to September. That's it. Not 8 years. A number of months. Twice the amount of evictions, right? Because 10 million evictions seems like a lot, but it doesn't seem like a lot over 8 years. That's a real slow burn. You could kind of be like, oh, things seem odd, but not really. 20 million people being evicted next week, in the next couple of weeks, people are going to notice. And this is the point I was making before I get to the $600 thing. This is the point I was making earlier. Oh, you know, the landslide victory is only going to be so high. You're right. It will only be so high. But this level of evictions could truly push people to a line that they are incapable of thinking about voting for Republicans on. Losing your house, losing your place to live, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to not go, who the fuck did this to me? And there's only one group who did it to you. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why they're, and it's not both sides, right? It's specifically one. The article goes on to say, at present, the impending flood of evictions is partially dammed, partially stopped, by a federal moratorium that covers 1/4 of all renters. The $600 federal unemployment insurance bonus and the recent dispersion of $1,200 coronavirus relief checks. They are trying actively, the Republican Party is actively working to get rid of the $600 plus up, that $600, mm-hmm. and they are actively working to drop the threshold for people who get money in the next stimulus package down to, I believe, people who make $40,000 and less, or less. It was $100,000 before.
I mean, to be fair, those are the people that need it the most, but there's still a lot of people in that range that they'd be cutting down that still kind of fucking need
it. The $60,000 difference range?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Because just because you have $100,000 doesn't mean you don't have three kids. Right? Three kids is a lot of kids on any budget. Unless you're just balling. Mm. like, it's still a lot, right? That can, like, just exponentially is a lot. Now, three kids with $20,000 is way worse than 3,000, you know, three kids with $100,000, obviously. But it doesn't make it easy. So they are literally doing two things to remove the thing that is stopping this massive amount of evictions. What are we doing? What are we doing? So if you're not afraid now and you think civil unrest the last couple of weeks was bad, let 20 million people lose their homes. See how mad people can get.
Well, and I'm kind of glad you showed that to me, because now I know where a good chunk – if there is another stimulus check, and I feel like there probably has to be, I know where a good chunk of that's going, because I'm sure there are going to be funds and stuff like that set up for people that are having trouble.
Now, keep in mind
– making rent, so.
Now, keep in mind, I believe it was Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, and one other senator, and I know Bernie had another plan as well that is trying to fix this. The Democrats are the only ones who see this and are giving a fuck. Republicans are literally trying to destroy the thing that is keeping the dam together. So when people say both sides, I need people to understand that is patently untrue. Well,
and again, the rationale for it is they think that if you give people an extra $600 on top of their unemployment check, that it will motivate them to stay home. That's and what they are not understanding is the jobs aren't there. They're not there. It's not like that you're staying home because you want to.
They're not there.
You're staying home because you have to.
Right. We want people to stay home. If you gave them enough money to stay home, we could say 3 more weeks or 4 weeks, full shutdown. Full shutdown, except for like absolute, the most important shit.
Like emergency personnel, that kind right. of shit.
4 week absolute shutdown, like Fauci and the rest of the fucking smart people in this country said in the beginning. 4 week national mandated shutdown. You go out of your house and you're not out there for something specific, you get a fucking fine. Doesn't have to be $500, but if people like a $25 fine, right? Just enough to be annoying. There you go. Ah, it wasn't really worth it, right? Keep people off the fucking streets. Starve the goddamn virus for new host. And get the numbers down so that we can at least be in a place that if you want to push to open schools, at least try to push the numbers down, like you said. But they're not doing that. And they're not going to do that. They don't give a fuck. So.
But again, you can't, like, the time for that, the time where that would have been plausible to even happen.
Right.
Would have back in February. You can't do that now.
No.
You can't. It will never fly. You know, it needs to.
Yeah.
It will never fly.
Yeah. This is from, let's see. I think this was from, late last month, 6/29. Elizabeth Warren introduces nationwide eviction moratorium bill. Right. And she's not the only person, in fairness, but she is one of many people who is working on this. So if we don't stop this, this is a catastrophe. Like, this is a catastrophe waiting to happen. I don't know how many people need to live in their cars for us to figure out, like, okay, this is a bad move. But apparently a lot. So. All right. Let's laugh before
we get out
of here.
Thank God Ben Carson's on the case, Jay.
We're fucked. We're so fucked. All right. Let's laugh at a dunce before we get out of here. Did you see this story?
I did not. Let me tell you something. Arguably the most surprising bit about this news is that fucking Trump Jr. has managed to publish two books within like 6 months.
Self-published.
That's pretty incredible, actually. I got to say.
Self-published.
but again, he had to write two books.
Ghostwriter.
Fair enough. Somebody had to ghostwrite two books.
An idiot. So Donald Trump Jr. has a new anti-Biden book, but the title is Liberal Privilege, Joe Biden and the Democrats' Defense of the Indefensible. But it's Joe Biden and the Democrat apostrophe S defense of the indefensible. He just added an apostrophe for no reason. Or rather,
put it in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's in the wrong
spot.
Put
it in the wrong place.
Donald Trump Jr. is an idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I really have to say. I think we should just point at him and laugh. And he's making the picture that they use is perfect. Because he's just like, fucking nailed it, bro. As I always do.
The best part about this guy is that, again, Trump's most sycophantic supporters think that he would be that Trump Jr. would be just a dynamite guy to succeed his father as president.
That's crazy, dude.
Based on what?
Like, at least Trump has a level of charisma that I can understand why people follow him. Donald Trump Jr. doesn't have any charisma.
Right. And as much as Trump was handed the keys to the kingdom, like, Trump Jr. was like doubly handed the keys to the kingdom.
Right. He has done nothing to earn the respect of anyone. He's an idiot. He's really dumb. Like, really dumb. But I guess he's taken after his father. Would he marry... What's that woman he's with?
Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Would he end up marrying her? I feel like if he runs for president, he should have to run against Gavin Newsom.
I remember I suggested that a few months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be
an amazing amazing fucking race.
Yeah, loser has to keep Kimberly Guilfoyle. No, you keep her. No, you keep her. I don't want her.
I think even
that
if
would
Trump,
be weird, by the way. Two candidates.
That would be super weird.
Two candidates running against each other. Both of them have had one has had the sloppy seconds of the other one. So weird.
I lost my train of thought.
How's my dick taste, Donald? Out of here.
That's what I was gonna say. I think even if Trump were to somehow get reelected, I feel like Republicans would have to draw the line at his kid.
I feel like they'd be like, nah, yo, like we got you through for eight. Like, there's no way we're doing another 4 or 8 years of this guy.
And by the way, isn't it funny that Republicans were always the one to bitch and moan about the fucking dynastic nature of fucking politics, and it's bullshit that all the fucking Kennedys get to be elected to every office.
Clinton,
right? It's fucking garbage that Bill Clinton's wife is running for president. This is fucking terrible and atrocious. But meanwhile, they're cool with the Bush succession line. You almost had three Bushes,
yeah,
for a little while there. And now a lot of these fucking yahoos are being like, yeah, Trump Jr. should definitely.
Oh, Trump Jr. and then Ivanka Trump. Like, oh, yeah, they want all of it. They want Barron.
Like I said, Ivanka would be the smarter pick if you're going to run any of his fucking kids.
100%. I think she's smarter than him. For some reason, conservative men really, they're really into the bolt-on fake tits and breathy porn voice. And apparently a lot of conservative dudes really want to fuck Eric Trump because that's what she looks like. She does. So, she would be a better choice. But it will probably be, she'll probably run, like, knowing that shitty family, like, she'll run and Trump Jr. will run. Like, they'll be in a primary against each other.
Or they'll be on the same ticket. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh. Trump 2024 or whatever. Fuck.
Yeah. Man.
I wouldn't be surprised unless Trump gets embarrassed this time. Trump has to get embarrassed where they're just like, okay, maybe politics isn't really not our thing. Like, just get all the way out of it.
So I hesitate to even bring this up because, again, if we learn nothing from 2016, is that we should never get too excited about polling. Even if the polling ends up being right, we should never get too excited about
Agreed.
It. But political, or I can't remember what the Twitter site is that tweets out the polls constantly.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They tweeted out a poll from Texas today.
Oh.
That currently has Joe Biden leading by 5 points.
What?
In fucking Texas. In Republican-ass Texas. Now, wow. There's no way that that persists until the election.
You don't know that, Brad.
But who, but I mean, but yeah.
We didn't think, said, look, we didn't think Trump could win. So look.
That's true.
We could, look, you could be getting, you could, you know, just like we got a, you know, we got a white lash, as Van Jones said. It's the only thing he said is worth a damn in the last fucking 4 years. We got a white lash. We might get a progressive lash where people are just like, you know what? Fuck off. Fuck off, man. Like, I'm sick to death. Who was the rich guy who was still in the primary, who was like always trying to talk to Bernie after, is it Tom Steyer?
Oh, Tom Steyer.
Yeah. That goofball. Tom Steyer came out today and was like, he's been working with Joe Biden on climate change. And he's like, he's just getting more progressive every day. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, no shit.
I think Biden might be trying to meet the moment. And I truly think.
Could you imagine if Biden wins? And you know, he's got to get Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania in order to do it. But can you imagine Jay winning Texas?
Oh my God.
Winning Georgia, winning Florida, winning North Carolina.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Like, could you imagine how fucking ridiculous that map would look?
So much blue. Oh, Trump would be like, Trump would barricade in the White House. He would never come out. He would refuse. I will say this. There are many things about the coronavirus that piss me off. But the fact that Brad and I will not be able to do that show live together if Joe Biden wins is the saddest of facts. Because I will hug you as if we won the fucking Super Bowl ourselves. Do you hear me?
I mean, look, we have Zoom at least. We can still at least be together. Of course.
We will. The three of us, Andy, figure out your fucking schedule now, however that's going to work. But
figure out your computer situation.
Yes. We will all cry together, or we will all cheer together. But if that motherfucker wins Texas, hang it up.
Dude, it's over. Like I said, if they come out and fucking call Texas that night,
it's over.
It's done. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. You'll have to win nothing
else.
As Jay
would say.
California, Texas, and every normal blue state.
You can lose Wisconsin, fucking Michigan, and Pennsylvania. If you win Texas, it don't fucking matter.
Nope. None of that. Does none not of that make shit a matters. Difference. If you can take California and Texas in the normal blue state you always take,
and New York.
No, that's what I'm saying. The normal state you always take.
Yeah, right.
Like, you just don't need it. Fuck it. Fuck them. Oh, Trump won Ohio. Okay.
My dream is that Texas somehow, some way, becomes a reliably blue state to the point where Republicans finally see that it's time to dump the Electoral College. That we can finally get rid of that piece of shit, archaic structure.
And then they just get destroyed. They just get destroyed all the time anyway.
That's fine.
At least they can try to fight back.
The only thing keeping it there is the fact that Republicans still win kind of sometimes.
Yep.
That's it.
All you got to do is take Texas, man.
Yep. And because what that'll also do is once Democrats basically win every presidential election, again, much like the Redskins can only be made to change their name once corporate money got involved. Yep. The only way that Republicans will actually move their platform is if they will not ever win a presidential race ever again.
Yep. And they'll have to. They have to moderate. Like, and look, I'm fine with it. I think we need a normal opposition party. I'm okay with that. But you're not allowed to just have a bunch of lunatics like Louis Gohmert being in Congress for you. It doesn't work. And they won't learn that lesson right away, right? They'll lose Texas a couple times and go, this is unfair. Okay, let's get rid of the Electoral College. And we'll be like, okay, that's fine. What Democrats should do, like, no, we're against this. And then they'll fight super hard and we'll be like, yeah, all right, cool. We're cool with it. And then they won't learn the lesson right away, right? They'll keep running lunatics and they'll keep getting destroyed every time. And then eventually they'll go, oh, okay, we have to at least pretend to be moderate. And they'll continue to lose, you know, on and off. And then they'll actually just moderate because they have to. And hopefully by that time, we would have gotten money out of politics so we can actually run the country with normal human opinions and not massive corporate fucking backing. That is the goal. So if you want to know what the goal is, that is it. But yeah, I if Joe Biden wins Texas, it's over. It's over. Like, you can't say shit about how the Democrats ran anything. You can't say anything. If Joe Biden wins Texas, something that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton could never do. No. That's how bad Trump was. And I think it's a possibility. I think it's a distinct
Who was the last Democrat to win Texas? That's a great question. Let me take a look at a '96 Clinton election map to see if Bill Clinton – I don't think Bill Clinton won Texas.
No. I don't think the last person Democrat to win Texas was Lyndon Johnson.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, Bob Dole definitely won Texas back in 1996.
No, dude. It's definitely Lyndon Johnson.
It's been a long-ass time since it happened.
But it's coming. It's coming. And he will complain about rigged voting and everything else. I mean, we all know that.
Oh, God. If Texas flips, are you kidding me? Like just gird your loins for the bevy of illegal Mexicans crossing the border and voting. And there's at least 2 million illegal Mexicans running across the border and voting in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
That is why I lost.
Like, you know what? And one, that's not true. And two, I wouldn't care if it was or not. I'm too busy hugging Brad virtually over Zoom. That's fine. All right, that's it for us.
By the way, the last Democrat to win Texas was actually Jimmy Carter.
Oh,
in 76.
Okay. I thought it was Lyndon Johnson. How about that? How many points did he win it by?
That is a question that I would have to scroll down much further okay. in order to get, all right. to get the answer to.
Fair enough. All right.
Oh wait, I found it. Hang on. So Texas, Jimmy Carter won Texas. Ooh, by just about 100,000 votes. Ooh. It was pretty tight.
Pretty tight. I'll take it.
Pretty tight.
I'll take it. It's all right. Hey, 100,000 is still a win. You ask any president.
Back then, Texas was only worth 26 electoral votes, though. Only one higher. One higher than Ohio. Less than Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Back then. And as many as Illinois.
Not the case now.
No.
Was it 56 not. Or some crazy shit?
Oh, it's like 44, I think, is the actual number, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, yeah, we won Texas. Let's take that shit. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode. Brad, thank you for coming in.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.